everybody. Welcome to Pretty Scary.
Pretty scary.
You both nailed me.
How did that go?
That was uncanny how in sync you were.
I was so nervous.
The whole lead up was all about how awkward that was going to be, and it went so well. Thank you both so much. Hey, I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. Joining me as guest co-hosts this week, Kim Krall. You all know Kim Krall. She's been on Pretty Scary before, I do believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that the one where the guy with the torso and the snake in the basement?
What?
Hey, with the candlestick. It was Colonel Mustard.
Like, that's pretty scary.
That really was like a answer and clue.
So, yes, I have been here before.
I think that might have been True Crime Sucks, but maybe this podcast too. Who knows? True Crime Sucks is a spinoff of this podcast. But either way, you all know Kim. Also joining us, I can't remember if Corey Robinson has been on Pretty Scary before, but Corey's been on a bunch of podcasts before. Corey, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am great. Thanks for asking.
I'm super. Thanks for asking.
This is a really upbeat opening to what is going to be a fucking bummer of an episode.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Why are we so doped?
Yeah. We're bringing a lot of energy to this, which is unusual seeing as how we're talking about the Key Bridge collapse in Baltimore. Holy shit. What a fucking scene. It's not even a good thing, but the only thing that comes close to being a positive is the time of day that it happened.
That is the highlight. That's the best part about it. The best part. You know what I mean? That's the positive. I haven't seen people in 24 hours, so welcome to the humans.
That is good that it happened at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it was essentially just a construction crew that was on the bridge, but we'll get to that. Have either of you ever driven over this bridge?
No, I've never been to Maryland.
I don't know. I've been to Baltimore and I've been to Maryland a bunch of times. And I think if we went into Baltimore, we would from Columbia, which is in Maryland, not the country, we would have to drive on the bridge, I believe. Baltimore is a cool city, man.
I've only been to Baltimore once and it was really brief. I went in, I did a show on the Portugal the Man tour, and then me and my friend Nicole drove back to Washington, D.C. So I've literally seen one music venue in Baltimore. I hit a liquor store on the way back to Washington, D.C. But beyond that, I haven't spent a lot of time in Baltimore. So I don't know if I've ever been over this bridge, but I've definitely never driven over it. I can tell you that. I did live very near to Minneapolis when the 35W bridge collapsed, which that did happen like during rush hour. That was really bad times.
How many people died in that one?
I don't have that memorized, but
I don't know why I thought you would. I mean, you were a wealth of a lot of really
743. No.
Yeah. I did just have that right in your head pocket. Whip it out.
I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be that surprised. You know a lot of stuff about a lot of stuff.
That I don't know.
You've built an empire on that fact alone. So
all I know of Baltimore is from The Wire. And from what I know of The Wire, this bridge collapse is pretty on brand.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Baltimore definitely has its issues. They sure as shit don't need this. I mean, what city does? I don't think there is a city that would take a bridge collapse like this just in stride. I mean, Minneapolis seemed like it came close, but there was always another bridge. I mean, there's always another way, but
the closest thing I've experienced to this is like growing up in the Bay Area, like when I was 6, there was an earthquake that like took out San Francisco. And I live like 150 miles away, but you could feel it and there was damage down there. And when you saw like that clip of the car, like not seeing the section of the bridge and then just, about the only thing. And that's just terrifying because anytime you cross a bridge, like it's kind of hypnotic because it's just like, you can kind of see the, like you're moving and everything near you is moving, but everything stays. Like, so that's like peaceful. But like the fact that you're stuck over the water, like if anything goes wrong, there's that imminent like, oh shit, I am done.
Yeah.
And then you're in a metal box and who knows how hard it'll be to get out of that box once you go underwater. So all this has done for me is solidify my fear of driving over every bridge I've ever driven over. I've been afraid of that my whole driving life.
Yeah, I don't love them. but I've never been particularly scared of bridges. It's just, I'm at this point in history, I'm just generally scared of America's infrastructure just crumbling everywhere. I'm legitimately worried about California because we are not built for all the rain we're getting.
No. And we're not in the off season. We're not doing anything to help that or build that or do things to be like, okay, well, why don't we try and harness some of this water so we don't have a drought? Or, you know what? Like, we're not really doing anything when the rain's gone to fix that we're not built for all the rain.
We're either on fire or underwater or fixing roads from earthquakes, but we're never like, we're never prepared, which is weird because this happens at the same time every single year.
Yes. We have four seasons here, I always say. Like, we have fire season, we have rain season, we have hell hot season, and then we have perfect couple of months of weather, and everything is fine, and we forget about all our problems.
Yeah.
And that's probably, those months are probably the ones where we forget to do anything.
Or we should be doing all of the things. We should all run for government.
Yeah, we're out hiking during those months.
I hate the fact that here in LA, every time it rains, the ground dissolves. And you would think we just use better concrete, but nope, we're just filled in with more shit that's going to evaporate.
Yeah, I like the part. This doesn't happen as much, but it used to be a thing when I lived in Santa Monica where it rained so sporadically that when it did, there would be sections of the sidewalk that just had this layer of like grime and oil built up that had accumulated from the fact that it hadn't rained. And then you step on that and it's like black ice. Like, you can't see it, but you will fall and tear your ACL really bad.
It's the third time you've brought up a hypothetical torn ACL in my presence this week.
It's the nightmare.
It's on your mind.
Tearing the ACL, then what future do I have in professional sports? And no one's going to draft.
It's going to be a quarterback for the Bears.
whoa.
Adam can do better than getting on the Bears. How dare you?
Okay. They have the first pick. What are you talking about?
Yeah, this podcast is over. Thank you. You come here for Chicago Bears slander.
It was fun, though. So
let's talk about this bridge collapse. Like we said, it happened at right around 1:30 in the morning, which that part at least was good. It's called the Dali cargo ship, D-A-L-I. I don't know if that's a reference to Salvador Dali.
I was wondering that.
That would be weird, but maybe.
Well, it's an existential crisis, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
And operators issued a mayday call right before the crash happened. And very shortly thereafter, the ship struck a support tower of the Key Bridge, causing it to break and fall into the water. Did everyone watch the video of this?
I did.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be as proud as I am that I watched the video, but I feel like every time we do these, you're like, you didn't watch the 5-minute video? I did.
The one from the shore was really telling because you could see just the sheer mass of the ship hitting the column. Like, it didn't have a chance. Like, it was like a lineman hitting like a tiny Asian one.
It reminded me of like Jaws and the girl swimming in the ocean, and it just slowly, quietly, boom, 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 boom. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, when, it was like an eerie, dark figure just coming really, really slow. And I was like, is my sound on? Is it like, why is it going so? Like, I thought something was wrong with the video. It was so, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. Eerie.
Yeah.
It hit that bridge.
Jaws impersonation. Everyone got my reference.
Yeah, I think everyone.
I figured you'd laugh a lot harder about it, but it's fine.
It hit that bridge at like 8 to 9 miles an hour. And you would think it had to have been moving so much faster the way that bridge collapsed, because that bridge goes down.
That bridge collapsed like a piece of paper, like it crumbled like a piece of paper. Yeah.
Well, the ship went through the column at 8 or 9 miles per hour and kept going 8 or 9. Like, the column gave it no give. Like, it just fell right over.
And when you think of bridges like that, I mean, I've never thought about it, obviously, but like, you would think, yeah, I just thought that the ship would stop or like maybe it would bend, they would have a chance, but it literally was just like, no, it was, I didn't expect that.
That's how much, like, it was a full cargo ship. So there was no chance. From where I read, but like, I saw some YouTube video where it said it was like the side, it was basically got hit with the Chrysler Building as far as mass.
Yeah. And you can tell in that video, it's so huge, even compared to that bridge.
Yeah.
And
carry thousands of tons of tons.
Yeah.
Millions of pounds.
Yeah. It's so heavy that it doesn't really matter how slow it's going. It's just going to keep going when it hits something. And exactly. Yeah, that's what happened. And it's an intense thing to watch, especially because we know the only people who died in this were the construction crew that was on the bridge. In this video that we're referencing, we'll link to in the show notes, you can still see the construction crew on the bridge when the ship hits, and you see their part of the bridge collapse and their trucks fall into the water. It's from a distance, so it's not as graphic as it could be. But also, two of the people who died were recovered in one of those trucks, like 35 feet under the water. And the other four have, I think, still not, as we record this, I believe, have not been recovered yet. This is coming out about a week after we record it, so things could change between.
I feel like there's somebody just like smushed flat somewhere, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think there's no hope of them. They're not like camping, waiting for rescue.
They probably never felt it, so it's just like, game over.
That's always what you hope in a situation like this, is that it was just so quick. There had to be at least a moment where they knew something had gone really wrong, but two of the construction crew workers were saved. The rescuers got to two of them in time, but the other six, no. And yeah, that's really the creepiest thing about the video. That, and you see cars still going over the bridge.
As it's like creeping, yeah.
Imagine being in that last car, like, where it's like, you're just looking in the rear view and it's like, and you're like, like, you know, dude, hit 90 all of a sudden.
I read an interview with one of the drivers of one of those cars, and his whole quote was basically, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. I almost fucking died. I almost fell. I almost fell off that bridge. Holy shit.
What's your life like the next day? Like, colors are brighter. You know what I mean? Like, you're like skipping down the road. Like,
yeah.
I think it might be the other way. I would feel like Final Destination. Like, I wouldn't want to leave the house. I would think the world was out to kid me. Like, I was this, and like, because I've seen Final Destination, I would assume, like, since death missed me, it's like it wants revenge.
Which one are you, Adam? Are you Final Destination, or are you skipping through the woods on the sidewalk with birds flying around you?
I mean, that's one way you could take it. You could be like, well, nice try, death. I guess I'm invincible. And now you just live it up the rest of your days until something does legitimately kill you, because you're not invincible at all.
Dude, anything can kill us at any moment in time. Stories like this just make me be like, man, we just be wiped out. And that's that. Kim Crawl, no longer.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and Adam Todd Brown, you know, all of it. But I just mean, like, it's just eerie to think about. Like, it's just makes you look at your, you know, your mortality.
Well, yeah, I mean, something like this, like, who would have seen this coming? I mean, it's such an unthinkable thing. Like, I understand why people at first were like, was this terrorism or something?
That's so, I have a lot of friends from Columbia, Maryland, which is like 20-30 minutes outside of Baltimore, and we're in a group chat. Half of us are in Maryland and the other half are in LA. And the Maryland people were like, the one LA, it was early in the morning. They're like, is everyone okay? Like, I know Dave commutes. And I thought it was a joke. I thought they were kidding. And then they were like, look at the news. And another one was like, we sent you the thing. Like, I thought I didn't think that something like this could happen. Yeah. I guess I've never thought about it though. So.
And it's such a huge bridge. It's 1.6 miles.
And that thing just collapsed.
Yeah.
Just done within moments.
I mentioned the one good thing was that it happened at 1:30 in the morning. I forgot. There is one other good thing. Because that construction crew was there, they had to have representatives from the Maryland Department of Transportation there. And so they actually, in the like 2 minutes between when the ship issued its warning and when it hit that column, they were able to shut down both sides of the bridge. So no one, like, imagine being one of those people where you're just trying to go home for the night and you're like, what the fuck is this? what is this? Is there a crash? Is there a fucking crash? And then the bridge just fucking falls and you're like, oh my God.
Like, you know those times where you do get mad about something and then you find out that you're like, oh, someone actually did get hurt. Sorry, I'm a dick. Yeah, because you're right. They probably were like, what? Who cares? This isn't going to happen. And then
just what I need. Bang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a dick.
Yeah. That would be just as life altering as having driven over and gotten off in time. Being stopped before that happens, oof, that would be heavy.
I mean, with this event, the best case scenario, if this was going to happen, happened. It was in the middle of the night. They were able to get most everyone off the bridge random. Like, that shouldn't have happened. Like, if those workers shouldn't have been there in any other scenario. So,
and even, I mean, there's obviously an argument like, yeah, but six people from that
died.
Construction crew died. But if they weren't there, those Maryland Department of Transportation workers wouldn't have been there to shut down the bridge. And then who knows how much worse it would have been.
You mentioned like how people thought it might be terrorism. Like, I think it's natural to speculate, but it's one thing that annoys me about social media is that it makes it easier for people to just be like, oh, this is terrorism, or what? Why wasn't this, like, people were blaming the shit on Biden. It's like, people will take anything and, like, trivialize it to make it political, you know?
Yeah, we really, these days, make anything political. It's nuts.
And we say, like, now we're, like, you know, our, like, a Democrat's in office. But we do the same thing when someone else is in office. COVID happened to the world. Yes, Trump did a horrible job at wrangling it and regulating it. But like, it was like Trump administration. It's like, well, this things happen. And this is why we should try to be more united instead of making it all political. People died. This is going to cost our the Baltimore economy, the country's economy. Yeah.
And I mean, with COVID, I would argue the American government did a terrible job with it. I mean, not to like give Trump any credit. I just don't think Biden deserves a ton of credit on it either. Like, he didn't.
No, God. We, like, when he was in office recent, like, last year, the cases and people were dying at a higher rate than they were at the beginning of COVID. But they were like, we got to get people back to work. So the CDC is going to lift the 5-day quarantine.
It's like, look, some of you guys are going to die. All right, just deal with it. We got to get back to work.
We need money and we need the workers to not be complaining about their imminent death. Like, do you know why you're here? You're here for the billionaires. Work.
Well, yeah. Anytime this country pretends like it cares about anybody, it's like, yeah, whatever. Like, you want the money. Like, you don't give a shit. The only reason that this took so long, or not even that it took so long, it would have been faster if it was just up to the if it was just up to the billionaires themselves, then like, we would have never been sheltered in place. We were all just like, oh, like, some of you guys is just going to have to die. Just deal with it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they do with the gun stuff. They're like, yeah, your kids are going to die in school. We don't want to lose the gun money. So,
yeah.
But keep fighting about these little things, because that's what's keeping you guys not united and keeping us in power. We could talk about this all day.
USA Today did a really interesting article about this bridge collapse. They were able to reconstruct minute by minute how the crash unfolded. They used the video that we'll link to, which is also linked to in their article. They used that video in conjunction with NTSB reports to kind of piece this timeline together. And what they found is the ship left at 12:39 a.m. Things seemed mostly normal until 1:24 a.m. when the power goes out on the ship. And you see that in the video, and it is haunting because you know what's about to happen. And just even the ship in the video, when nothing's wrong yet, looks like it's too close to this bridge. But
yeah,
it was also not tall enough that if it had gone under the bridge like a ship normally goes under a bridge, it would have been fine. It just didn't. It hit a fucking support beam. But once those lights go out, it's so creepy, because now there's just this big black shadow heading toward this bridge, and you know what's going to happen. And like, even if you were driving, would you even notice that the lights went out on that ship? Would you know what to think about it? Like, it would
depends
just
on how good the song was I'm listening to.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, on those bridges, you're going not slow. Like, it's not like a school zone. You're just driving the speed limit over the bridge.
I'm personally trying to get across the damn thing. Like, again, growing up in the Bay Area, like, if there's no traffic, like, I'm not trying to be on there as long as I need, like, any longer than I need to be.
Every bridge I go over, we turn off the radio, no one in the car speaks, and I panic until we cross the bridge. It gives me extreme anxiety.
You might as well go down with a happy tune or something. It's no point. Like, you hearing, like, you're not going to be able to hear anything that stops it.
Oh, my brain just needs to be like yelling, and it needs silent for me to yell across the bridge in my head, like, ah, the whole way I'm driving over. But I'm just like smiling normally. I hate bridges, and this has not helped it.
Yeah.
I see.
Oh, really? No, this didn't help. Yeah. In this video, like I said, you can see the construction crew on the bridge. You see cars passing above. You see the lights go off. And then when they come back on, you see smoke billowing out of the ship. So something has gone very, very wrong, obviously. And it's around that point that people who aren't on the ship also start realizing something is not right. The pilot of the Dali issued a call at 1:27 a.m. saying the ship had lost all power and was approaching the bridge. And that warning was enough time for the Maryland Transportation Authority. I think I called it Maryland Department of Transportation earlier. For the Maryland Transportation Authority units that were there, that was enough time for them to shut down the bridge. So that's good, at least.
I'm looking at this crash. I'm like surprised it didn't sink the ship, too.
Yeah.
I don't know how heavy the bridge is, but like the bridge is half on the front of the ship and half in the water.
Yeah, it's on that ship.
Yeah.
I mean, those cargo ships, like you said, are built like tanks, right? And like they got tons and tons of
tanks inside of buildings.
Yeah. Inside of, they have like those cargo, what are they called? Cargo carriers, cargo containers. They're like tanks. They're, yeah. So
here's something awfully uncomfortable to think about. Either of you ever seen the second season of The Wire?
I never seen the first season of The Wire.
I watched all the seasons. That's the same port. Port of Baltimore, right?
Yeah. Spoiler alert, the second season of The Wire opens with a bunch of dead women a shipping container who were being trafficked to the United States. And
one of them married the president.
Yeah.
Why were they being trafficked? Were they murdered before they got there? So like the traffic was moot?
They died en route. It wasn't like they were murdered. Like they were just like ran out of food or something.
Yeah.
And they all died.
They had it's just a TV show, but.
Dude, a lot of this stuff happens though in the world.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like this, in order for this to, I always say there's a lot of truth in fiction. So for them to have written something like this, it's happened before.
Well, the thing about The Wire is the guy who wrote it used to work for the Baltimore Sun. He was a reporter for the Baltimore Sun. And I believe he reported on crime at the Baltimore Sun. So he knew that probably is a ripped from the headlines kind of thing. And that's a pretty uncomfortable thing to think about because there are, I think they said like 7,500 containers on this ship and only a couple of them fell into the ocean, which is good.
So you're worried that more women have been hit by that bridge?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's people in some of those containers.
I'm just hoping there's a bunch of like bikes and shit going to Target. And
that's what I was picturing. I wasn't picturing humans.
Food.
Like. Well, why did you think I brought up The Wire? Like that's how it happened. Like Wire. Those women were in a cargo ship container.
I feel like you bring up The Wire a lot, though, to me.
I mean, we're talking about Baltimore. It did take place primarily in Baltimore and surrounding areas.
You bring up an interesting point, though, because like once they dig through all the wreckage, if they haven't already, and they find something like this, that's going to open up a whole other can of worms. Like, wait a minute. Where was this ship fucking going?
Which also would be another positive, because if they were trafficking people, the people probably would have been found who were being trafficked.
Yeah. Perhaps.
Yeah.
Or they'll be found like they were on The Wire, with the breathing hole that was cut into their container blocked by another container.
Or, that is blocked by the bridge.
Yeah.
What a fucking terrible way to die.
That would be pretty bad. There was also 56 containers that had hazardous materials in them, but apparently none of them fell into the water. And even if they did, none of the water in that area leads to, like, drinking water. So there wouldn't be a threat to the people of Baltimore, allegedly. I mean, don't get me wrong. If there is something wrong with your drinking water, the government will definitely let you know immediately.
Oh, yeah. If anything went wrong, the news definitely is reporting it honestly and all of the knowledge that they have. The media never lies.
Absolutely. So it is good that not as many people died as could have in a disaster like this, but there's going to be costs beyond that, especially economic costs. Right away, it, at least according to Pete Buttigieg, and you know you can trust him, he's CIA.
I love him. He's CIA?
You love Pete Buttigieg?
Buttigieg.
Ugh. Yeah, he's fucking...
Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
We're going to have to talk about that at some point, because you're my moral compass. And
that's the thing you can just look up. Everyone knows Pete Buttigieg was CIA. He denies it, but I think you're supposed to. Anyway, that claim comes from Pete Buttigieg that $2 million in wages per day is one of the costs of this bridge collapse, along with 8,000 jobs, which that is not a thing the city of Baltimore needs. If this happened where I live, it would be an absolute nightmare. There are so many dock workers here because I live right by the port of Los Angeles. So there are just dock workers and ship workers galore where I live. And if something like this happened, it would be pretty bad for this area. So I imagine same thing if you live near Port Baltimore. So that part, very bad.
Yeah.
This port is also critical to the American economy. It's the deepest harbor in Chesapeake Bay, but you all knew that. It's closer to the Midwest than any other East Coast port, and it's within an overnight drive of 1/3 of the entire nation's population, which that's convenient. Between $100 million and $200 million of cargo passes through the port every day. Also, about 4,000 commercial trucks a day use that bridge. So now detours are going to cause increased delivery times, higher fuel costs. That's all going to lead to things being more expensive. It's also the port that handles the most vehicles in the United States. Last year, just under 850,000 cars and light trucks passed through the port. It also handled around 1.3 million tons of farm and construction machinery during that time. So that's a lot. And one interesting thing I found that I didn't put in the notes is people might hear that and go, oh, great. So cars are going to get more expensive?
Yes.
No, not necessarily. Because one of the problems we're facing now is ships that are delivering cars to us are going to have to be rerouted to other ports. And those ports aren't as equipped to deal with the number of cars. And in a lot of cases, there are cars waiting to go to dealerships still sitting in those ports. And the only way to get those to the dealerships is for the dealerships to sell more cars so they can replace those cars with the cars on the port. So you would think this is going to make prices go up for cars, and it might in some ways, but there's also possibly going to be like just a glut of cars that have to be sold for cheap because all the other cars are sitting in the ocean.
It disrupts the supply line, and like the regardless of demand, like you have an inelastic logistics issue, like a business issue. Like, and so like, no, like you got to sell off your existing inventory, which regardless of demand, it's like, hey, I want this car. Yeah, that's too bad. But we got this one right here. It's like, well, but I want a Mustang. Yeah, but you look great in F-150, wouldn't you? So yeah, like that's gonna lose business. So that's like, it's more or less not so much gonna make cars cost more. It's just gonna, availability is gonna hurt the dealerships.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that, I mean, that's whether cars go up or not, it would obviously be preferable that the bridge didn't collapse. I love that we're living in an era where I have to clarify that. Like,
price might go down, you just can't get them.
Yeah. Yeah. People will get in the comments and be like, oh, that's what you care about, the price of cars.
Hey, my buddy Kevin, who's a software engineer, said the best invention in recent human history is the internet. And the worst mistake we ever made was giving everyone the opportunity to add to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin is right.
Yeah, I would accept that. I think it's even simpler than that. I think we just need to roll back to before Facebook. Facebook.
And social media or Instagram.
MySpace was okay. MySpace, the biggest fight you got was in, like, why am I not in your top 8 anymore? Right? Like that was like Stacy moved me out of her top eight. Fuck that bit. You know what I like? That was like the biggest deal. But now it's
pics and memes and videos are cool, but like all this, like the comment section is the problem. It's like everybody has an equal ability to say something, and we platform way more idiots than we do actual experts.
Yeah.
That's why there's so much misinformation.
Good times.
I know. I think we should wrap it up, honestly. The human race. We've been here a long time. We did some cool shit. Whatever comes next on Earth, get geared up to come on down, because we're going to pop out of here now. Like we've
I hope it's more dinosaurs.
Good luck, lizards.
There's people that don't believe those happened. That's the timeline we live in.
I think it's time for the muskrats to rule.
Oh, good for them. I think that they've been waiting long enough. You know, they should get to be the ruling species now.
A million years from now, it's going to be like 7-foot roaches.
Oof, I don't like that.
Do you think they'll wear ties and go to work?
I think it's going to be like Dune. They're going to be fighting over resources and with sandworms.
I never saw Dune.
Yeah, it's confused.
Yeah. So Biden has called on the federal government to pay to rebuild the bridge. And like, yeah, you would think that would be a given.
Yeah.
Right?
This affects on a federal level, this bridge collapsing. We've just talked about how it affects on the effects will happen on a federal level. So
supply chains on the eastern seaboard.
Yeah. But we are living in the time we're living in. And this is a Biden Buttigieg problem. And any additional funding for rebuilding this bridge is going to have to go through Congress, which means we're probably going to have to build the wall before we rebuild this bridge. And I'm only like half joking.
No, I don't think you're wrong.
Well, Biden keeps putting immigration on the table for stuff like this. He did it with aid to Ukraine. He wanted that aid to Ukraine to pass. So he put funding for like border security on the bill also. And Republicans saw that and were like, wait, that's on the table right now? And they were like, no. We want way more if you're willing to negotiate on that. So he sold immigrants out to get aid to Ukraine. And I don't know. I could see Republicans holding up funding for rebuilding this bridge. It's just the world we live in. They could just as easily take it as an opportunity to say something racist about the mayor of Baltimore and do nothing about it.
It's crazy. Like the mayor of Baltimore responded to that. Like he's up there like 4 o'clock in the morning. So he's just basically just threw on some clothes and went to work. And they're like people just came out at the most. They said like the DEI mayor of Baltimore.
Yeah.
And it's like, first of all, it's hilarious to watch the right and racist, which are practically synonymous. Not saying all Republicans are racist. I'm saying most racists are Republican. They find a way to use a keyword that they latch onto every election year. Like it used to be affirmative action and then it was woke and now it's, and then it was a CRT and now it's DEI. And so they're trying to make it seem like this guy doesn't deserve his job that he was elected to.
By 70%, a sweeping.
Yeah. Also, if you think a black man being mayor of Baltimore is a diversity hire, check the demographics.
You've never been to Baltimore then. Yeah. You know nothing about Baltimore.
White people are the minority there.
Regarding the funding for this, Pete Buttigieg has a quote. Today, this is happening in Baltimore. Tomorrow could be your district. And we really need to stand together, red, blue, and purple, to get these things done. That kind of sounds like if they don't fund rebuilding this bridge, we're going to take one of their bridges and... I don't know. Is that what politics is going to become? Because that's fun.
I think that's what politics currently is.
Yeah. Where would we go? It'd have to be one in Texas, right? We'd have to take a bridge in Texas.
Are there any bridges in Texas?
Yeah, it's all just
black. No.
No. Is there anything?
There's no, none.
Yeah. Like, what are you?
Any important?
What are you crossing in Texas? That's the one thing Texas has. Is a bunch. Like, there's no terrorism because there's a way too much shit to, like, there's nothing to blow up.
And it's there. Yeah. And in order to get from one side to the other, like, it's not a convenient place to get to or travel around in.
It's a giant desert plain.
That said, best show of my life, Halloween night 2016 in Dallas.
Oh, Dallas is a cool city.
Yeah.
I've never been.
None of that arguing is going to hold up funding for this bridge initially. Like, we passed an infrastructure bill a few years ago that has like emergency funding for stuff like this worked in. So we're going to help build it. It might just like not go all the way to the other side. It might just like stop halfway.
You're on your own, Baltimore. We did the best we could.
Yeah, don't worry. This bridge will be built by 2047.
Yeah.
That's the thing. How long? Because it took 7 years?
It took 5 years when it was built. And I don't, like, you'd like to think, well, yeah, we got all that new technology now. Like, what kind of new technology do we have in the way of putting concrete and steel into the water so cars can drive over it?
Yeah, it's pretty much been the same.
Or better yet, what new technology we have to remove concrete and metal from what a bridge used to be to rebuild?
Yeah, we have to clear that whole thing out first.
Yeah, that's going to take take twice as long.
Yeah, they didn't have that obstacle the first time, I'm assuming.
It's like, first thing we got to do is get this goddamn boat out of here. We got to figure that out first. Like, we got a ship and a boat connected that we got to get out of this harbor.
I love the story about the ship owners denying responsibility. It reminds me, have either of you seen I Think You Should Leave, the sketch comedy show on Netflix?
I've seen clips.
I feel like I have, but I don't remember.
Tim Robinson. It's one of the funniest things on television. And there is a skit where he's driving the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile and he crashes into a car dealership and he's wearing like a full Oscar Mayer uniform. And he gets out of this Wienermobile and starts going, who did this? Everyone's like, it's obviously your car. You're dressed like the car.
He's in a hot dog costume.
He is actually in a hot dog costume.
Oh, it's so good. What happened here? Wild. I just showed up.
And they're like,
that's fantastic.
This is a claim they've already taken to court. They went to court immediately. And basically what they're asking is either to be completely exonerated from liability altogether, or that they only have to pay $43.67 million.
Of the $400 million they said minimum to fix this?
That's not even close.
Well, no, this would be for like the victims. And
I was about to say that $400 million would just be enough to cover the like the families of the people that died and whatever, whoever else lost property on that. Like just the insurance would be $400 million. The actual fixing all this is going to be like in the tens of billions.
Yeah, it's going to be way, way, way. Yeah, we've already earmarked like $60 million for it. And that's obviously not going to be enough.
Yeah, like this is several billion dollars worth of work.
They hopped on that quick. They already went to court and was like, we're not liable.
I can imagine why, though. Like, I mean, they don't have billions of dollars to fix this.
It sounds gross, but it's exactly what I would do. Like, what else would you do but immediately go to your lawyer and be like, fucking what now?
Yeah, cover my ass as best you can because I leave this, bruh.
Your time to shine. You've been just hanging out. Now I need a lawyer. Like, that's why you have them.
Yeah, we're a meager shipping company. We do not have enough to fix infrastructure.
Yeah, I wonder, speaking of that, I wonder if that's going to become an issue because apparently there are like support beams or something you can put in place or support structures to hopefully keep something like this from happening. I don't know if they would have been effective here, but they didn't have them.
You would think this would happen more often, like in other places, like again, in the Bay. Like, I think I would have heard of a ship bumping into the bottom of Golden Gate Bridge or something at this point over the hundreds of years it's been up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a big ass ship to take out the Golden Gate Bridge.
No, I don't mean take it out. Just like you'd think you'd hear more about ships colliding with like bridge bases. Like
the structure of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Just like planes crash, cars crash. Like you would think ships act like somebody's asleep at the wheel. Obviously not really, but like, you know, you think this would happen more often.
Yeah. Glad it doesn't. Holy shit.
For sure. It's definitely seems like a hazard of the job that could happen. You know?
Yeah.
Now that it has.
So we've already been hinting at this part, but Baltimore, they have a black mayor. His name's Brandon Scott. He's 39.
Very good looking, too. Very hot. I went through a rabbit hole. I did not see if he was married, though. I'll be Googling that now.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably still a narc like any other elected official. But yeah, I saw a pic of him giving a press conference in a Baltimore Orioles varsity jacket. It's cool. Yeah.
He must have been really charismatic to beat out Carcetti.
Yeah, exactly. The Wire reference, Kim.
I didn't see The Wire. I also was looking at his wife, so.
Oh, she's over there just scheming like, huh, so you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah, she's pretty. They're a very cute couple. So there's not a chance. They're very cute. But I didn't watch The Wire either, so I would have missed it anyway.
When the bridge collapse happened, he did what you would want the mayor of the city to do in that situation. He got in front of the cameras and assured everyone that we're going to figure this out. And of course, people got racist over it right away.
Like right away. I don't know why I'm still so shocked every single time. Every time I read that, I'm like, why does this shock you now? Why?
I think the worst thing that Trump did, aside from everything else that he did, was the fact that like the internet was already toxic and racist enough, but he gave everybody the green light to be their worst selves possible. The
permission. Yeah, absolutely.
That's why we've got a culture now of like immediately going to the race of something whenever anything happens. And it's like a black mayor, like I was saying earlier, with DEI and CRT, it just goes to this underlying fault that we realize that there's such a large section of this country that just anytime they see anyone black or anyone that's not white or anyone that's not a white man, anything woman, anything like different, they're like, oh, we're losing the country. This is wrong. And they just automatically see that as wrong instead of seeing it as America, which it is. We're all supposed to be together, but they want to section it off.
They want the straight white guy to be. And yeah, you're right. When they see anything, any powerful woman, anyone who's not white, it's immediately goes to that. And it's like, we want to go back to where it was when America was great in the 50s. And those of us who wouldn't have had many rights back then are like, we would prefer to not do that, please. Like,
yeah,
but he did it. And you're right. It's wild because he did exactly what every mayor would do. Got to the scene. It would have been weird if he showed up super dressed up and showered and like ready to go for the camera. Like it was in the middle of the night. But if it was a white guy, no one would have said anything.
Well, no, you're absolutely right about that, too. If he did get all fucking dolled up and show up, people would have been like, oh, so you took fucking 45 minutes to get pretty, Mr. QDEI mayor.
Yeah. His response to the DEI mayor stuff, though, the tweets, fantastic.
Yeah, this is just one of the quotes from racists on Twitter. This is Baltimore's DEI mayor commenting on the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge. It's going to get so, so much worse. Prepare accordingly. These right-wing motherfuckers always have like, prepare accordingly. Get ready. Always some fucking tag, like some call to action. It's like, you fucking prepare accordingly.
Get ready for what? A cargo ship crash into a bridge in the middle of the night.
We're all comedians here. If you ever get up on stage and it's like, ooh, it's like, I haven't said anything yet. I literally haven't even opened my mouth. Like, what? What did I do? Like, where yeah. They hate your face before you say your first joke. That's what this mayor is dealing with.
And we all have where you get up there and you're like, the intro says something, like the host says something that the audience collectively is like, fuck her. And you're like, you don't even know me.
I literally haven't even turned the mic on yet. What the fuck?
I got the opposite at a show once where the people came out and introduced me. And as they were handing me the microphone, this G.I. Joe looking motherfucker in the front row just looks at me and goes, say something. It's like, you think I'm not going to? They're handing me a microphone. I still sort of regret not just standing there in silence for about 15 minutes because it was a big crowd. And that would have been some Andy Kaufman shit. I would have got chased out of there. That would have been fun. Say something. Anyway.
Jesus. Humans.
This is another quote from Phil Lyman, Utah Republican.
Of course.
All of that makes sense for what you're about to say. Phil, Utah Republican, you're going to say something racist.
This is what happens when you have governors who prioritize diversity over the well-being and security of citizens. And listen, that one is just facts, okay? Diversity causes boat crashes.
Yeah.
No one wants to talk about it. If we stay separate, the boats stay separate, and nobody wants to fucking talk about it.
This is just like if you get struck by lightning It's like, see, that's what you get for voting Democrat.
You get attacked by a shark. They're like, Republicans hate sharks. We want to eat them. It's Democrats valuing sharks over your leg.
It's so insane because there's no way to argue with that person because you're like, oh, you're very stupid. So anything, I might as well just talk to a cat about my opinions. Cats are lovely, but you know what I mean? Like, I'll get more out of that than I would explaining to you.
Yeah, they're not even wrong. It's so off base. Like, it's like, in order for it to be incorrect, you'd have to be talking about the same thing.
And you can't even argue with that because you're like, cool. So we know how you feel about diversity, but the cargo ship crashed in the what?
Like, how do you blame?
This guy could have been like, hear me out, aliens. And I would have been like, I'm fucking listening.
Yeah, that is a more reasonable response.
The idea of that Phil guy saying that this is when you focus on diversity, like that's their whole campaign this time around. And it's funny because you can watch the campaign because they all have a hive mind. Charlie Kirk was talking something similar about like he doesn't want black pilots on his plane. Even if you are racist, that is completely illogical because knowing the history of this country, in order for a black man or woman to be the pilot on your commercial airliner, they had to go through so much extra bullshit to get that job. That is now the safest person that you can fly with. That is the most qualified person you could have. Yeah.
The emotionally toughest person, that like someone who can go through that much like scrutiny and still keep a level head and pass some tests. So you want them in a fucking situation where the plane's going down because they don't get rattled because they had to go through so much to get there. You're 1,000% right. I've never thought about that.
Well, the problem is being like racism isn't logical. So expect
fair.
A logical argument out of these motherfuckers.
You forget fair. That though, because you want to like, you want to believe better for people and you want to believe like you think this, where along the line did you get steered wrong? Like, you want to have faith in humanity, but you're right. There's no logic to it. And yeah. I mean, it's taught. I know that, but like, yeah.
You know what? You're both right because like, it should be like you're saying, Kim, but it is like you're saying, Adam. And that's why we need to just be more like, no, you're being racist. Fuck you. And stop like arguing or trying to logic it out. It's like the fact that you even bring that up is just you telling on yourself. Why do you care what race your pilot is? You have to be smart anyway to be a pilot. Get on the fucking plane. You're more worried about who's flying the plane than the fact that they're charging us for our goddamn bags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or that escape hatch is going to blow off the side of the plane.
Thank you.
Like, blowing out in the night sky.
Black pilots. Boeing killed a whistleblower. You're worried about the black pilot.
Or the whistleblower that was going to come forward and tell us a bunch of scary shit, unalived himself. I'm using air quotes right now. And everyone was like, well, yeah, he probably killed himself. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
Absolutely.
But I agree. I think instead of logicking your way out of it, that's not a word, but you know what I mean? Just be like, that's racist. That's misogynist. Like, oh, that's, yeah, I think you just call it out now.
If people are interested, we did an episode of Conspiracy, the show, a couple weeks ago called The 5 Most Suspicious Whistleblower Suicides Since 2020. Shit happens all the time. All the time.
And that's just the top 5. So there were many that you chose from.
You had to, there's outside looking in, there's cutting room floor. There was a lot of feet. There's a lot more people on that list.
I just want to tell jokes and just live a happy life. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to like play with my cat and tell jokes and not have to like watch the world burn around me.
Yeah. So one last point about the racist response to the mayor of Baltimore, just, you know, doing his job. For one thing, I should point out the quote about diversity causing boat crashes. Basically, I'm paraphrasing that fuckface, but that is what he said.
Yeah.
I should point out he was talking about Maryland Governor Wes Moore, who is also black.
The other black guy.
Clay Davis. Yeah.
Here is Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott's response to the response to his speech. What they mean by DEI, in my opinion, is duly elected incumbent.
I love that. Go.
We know what they want to say, but they don't have the courage to say the N-word. Got him.
Yeah. Got him. I love that.
When they asked the other guy to respond to that, he said, what do you mean? Oh, I'm afraid to say the N-word. I mean, but what?
I say it all the time. Wait, no, I don't. What? Is this being recorded? I like the response where they're calling the Baltimore mayor a DEI mayor. And then just say the slurs. Wait, just say the slurs at this point, bro. I love that. Just say them.
You're working so hard for these code words. Just say the word you really want to already.
None of us are fooled. All of us understand what you're trying to say. So just have the balls to say it. And I don't think you do.
There's a clip that's going around on the internet a couple years ago. And unfortunately, it's from a TV show and it wasn't a real thing. It was a scene from The Good Fight, which was a show on CBS, one of my favorite shows of all time. And it was Delroy Lindo. He was on a talk show.
I remember that.
He was like the liberal voice on this conservative panel of talk show guests. And one of them is complaining about how, like, well, why can't white people say the N-word? And eventually Delroy Lindo just goes, say it. Just say it. Say it right now if you want to say it.
We'll say it together.
Yeah. The guy's like, ah, shit. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a real thing. It was from a TV show, but still fun to watch.
I think the thing is they just like,
that is really fun.
They really want to say it because like I have this concept that you can't tell white men specifically, racist white men specifically, they can't handle the concept of can't. Like they just can't. Like if you tell them they can't do something, they'll go out of it. They'll lose their mind trying to prove you wrong. But when you tell them they can't say the N-word, is really what they say. No, you can say it, but it might ruin your life.
Yeah, you're allowed to say it.
Yeah, go for it. They're like they just want to be able to do it without having their lives ruined. You know, like good old days. That's really what it is. You have the ability to say it. Go for it. You say it already. You just want to be able to say it in a microphone.
Yeah, you say it already. Don't act like all of us are like, we know you say it casually. And that demographic, you're right, that demographic has never been told that they can't take up space, that they can't do something. Like they're like the mediocrest of them are like, you're going to be president. And now it's like, well, now you could actually be talented, smart. Like we're gonna, and it's not inclusivity. It's just opening up the doors to everyone who also deserves to be here. You know, like it's not kicking you out. And it's always mediocre white guys, by the way, who are mad about that. They're like, oh, that's not fair. I had a friend say, he's like 46. And he's like, it's not fair. He's like, 20 years ago, I was all excited about being in my 40s. Cause like, you know, like things were laid out for me. Cause I'm a white guy. And I was like, dude, you're mediocre now. Like you're not.
What does that even mean?
He means that before he didn't have to have talent to have money and get a girl. And he didn't have to do anything. He only had to show up simply because he was a straight white guy. And then I was just like, I have news for you, buddy. I think even if things hadn't changed, I feel like your life would be exactly where it is now because you don't really offer anything in those.
I don't want to alarm anyone, but been a straight white male my whole life. And
I'm alarmed.
I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. Like, show up where?
In the world. You know what's funny? I would text this guy. I found out recently. I'm like, oh, I thought he was just condescending towards me because I'm a woman. And then I text him something about, he's like a friend of a friend. And I text him something. I was in his town and I was like, oh, the East Coast is so wild. I always forget how easy it is to get from one city in one state. You know, it's like California is so spread out. And he was like, well, yeah, there's less miles between the states and the cities than there are in California. And I was like, oh, you're dumb. You're not talking to me like I'm dumb. You're like, that spells cat. Like you're not. Oh, this whole time I was so offended. And now I'm like, oh, okay, you're just dumb. Now I don't care anymore. Carry on.
This is a great example of how white supremacy can also hurt white guys too. Because if you're born on third, think you hit a triple when it's actually time for baseball practice, or like tryouts, you're going to be like sitting there wondering why you suck.
Yeah. Yes.
And so let's talk about one last story related to this, because I got really excited when I saw this headline. It would have me believe. Let me read the exact headline here. What do a top secret CIA mission and the Maryland Bridge wreck have in common? Well, the same crane. I was psyched when I saw that. I was like, oh, shit, let's read about this CIA.
Dear crane. God, it's Jason Bourne.
I feel like everything goes back to either Russia or the CIA. Everything I read is always like.
Or Reagan.
Or Reagan. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It, if you blame everything on Reagan, you're right way more than you're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much so. He's like the fucking Bill Russell of things that ruined the world. Like, people just leave him out and then you mention him and people are like, oh yeah, fuck. Right. Yeah. Reagan. Yeah. Shit. Yeah. He was the worst.
He was the worst.
So I'm sure Bill Russell somewhere loves that comparison.
Somewhere up in heaven.
So for starters, there's CIA connections just because Pete Buttigieg is there. So there's that.
I need to look into that.
There is a crane at the site of this collapse. Yes, it does float. People listening to this, if you were wondering, thanks for asking. It's called the Chesapeake 1000. They call it Chessie when it's being cute, showing its belly, wanting treats and rub rubs. Chessie is currently hauling steel and all manner of other debris away from the crash site. And little known fact about cranes, they don't die, just like turtles. And this crane is so old, it helped the sea. I hope the audience in their cars all said, how old is it? It is so old, it helped the CIA steal part of a sunken Soviet submarine in the 70s.
CIA and Russia. Always back to then.
How about that alliteration? Back then, it was called the Sun 800. And I got to that point in the story, and that's where I was like, okay, fuck this story. Because here's the thing. I thought it was going to be that Chessie floated out to where this Russian sub was and just snatched it up out of the ocean and brought it back to America. But no, no. Chessie was involved in building the ship that went out and recovered that submarine from the ocean. They built some of the parts for that ship on a shipyard in Philadelphia, and then Chessie picked them up, floated them out to the real hero of the story, and dropped that shit off. So Chessie was like the messenger. Chessie was an assistant on this mission. Chessie was not the machine that did the mission. So I actually apologize for even talking about this story at all.
I mean, but now Chessie's doing a lot of stuff, so it's a real glow up for Chessie.
Well, I mean, yeah, Chessie's, is this a glow up for Chessie?
I don't know. I was just trying to give a fun spin on it and say the words glow up.
I will say,
I thought we'd all just be on board, but all right.
No, oh no, you're right. I see it now. Well, speaking of glow up, the ship that actually saved the Russian submarine was called the Hughes Glomar Explorer. So there's that. It was named after Howard Hughes. And here's what I want to know. Did Howard Hughes know? Because that was their cover story. They built this ship and they put Howard Hughes' name on it and then told people it was a commercial deep sea mining vessel owned by Howard Hughes. And on the one hand, you hear that and you're like, oh shit, Howard Hughes was CIA, huh? Not necessarily. They wouldn't have to tell him. How's he going to find out? The internet? Motherfucker never left his house. You think he knew the CIA was painting his name on ships to steal Soviet submarines? Nah.
You don't think he knew?
No. Why would he know? I mean, I don't know, maybe, but
I feel like if you're going to use somebody to like cover up something, you probably ought to give him like a heads up. That way, if he is talking to someone, which I know he didn't really do a lot of, he wouldn't be like, what? What's my name on? But then also the internet.
The CIA is usually pretty ethical that way. I'm sure they were.
Not ethical, but just to like cover your tracks.
No, I don't know. I mean, maybe he, for all I know, he built the fucking thing.
Yeah.
He might have drove it.
Money.
Yeah. Who knows? But the mission to recover the submarine was mostly unsuccessful. I'm sorry.
I know. I got to the end of that article and I was like, well, that was anticlimactic.
So for the record, the mission to recover that Russian sub was mostly unsuccessful. Except for the part where they did recover the crew of that submarine. There were six of them, and it says they gave them a formal burial at sea. And it's like, yeah, I bet you did.
They already were.
Yeah, I bet it's just like the one Bin Laden got.
Yeah, why even add that?
They found the bodies, but not the submarine?
The submarine broke in half when they were bringing it up from the bottom of the water. And apparently the cool half is the one that fell back into the water. The part with just the crew and then signs that said documents and secrets this way. That part is what they got. And then the documents and the secrets are in the ocean. But yeah, same fucking crane, I guess. Whatever.
Good for you, Chessie.
Yeah. Yeah. Good job, Chessie. Thank you for your service. So, yeah, I think that is our episode. I'm sure there have been other developments between when we record this and when it goes up. And if we didn't mention them, that's why. It's because we recorded this about a week in advance. Kim, Corey, thank you both for doing the pod. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
This feels like the right time to plug shit. AdamTodBrown.substack.com. You can read my writings there. And what else do we got? Corey, what do you got to plug?
I'm going
to
be at Joker's in Richland next weekend, the 12th and 13th. And I will be in the Punchline in San Francisco the end of May. All that lasts 28th to like June 1st.
Nice.
Kim, what do you got?
The normal, I guess. I have a podcast, Crawl Space, K-R-A-L-S-P-A-C-E. I think you and I are on mint on card, but I think this won't be out by then.
No, it won't.
Very exciting, though. And then, yeah, I wrote a book, Confessions of a Recovering Party Girl. Go ahead and buy that. Amazon or my website, kimcrawl.com. I think that's it.
All right, let's get out of here. Corey, say goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Kim, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.